your prayers on our behalf. Thank you for having us here today. And I would ask you to open your Bibles, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Our brother Herb this morning mentioned very briefly something about Jabez. And I had had him on my mind, and before the Lord determined that I would share some thoughts in connection with this Old Testament character that we know so little about, and yet from what we do have, we can gather quite a bit. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. I want you to just glance back at the preceding chapters and look ahead to the following chapters, and just consider this long genealogical line that we have in these pages. We're going from father to son, from father to son, and this one begat that one, and he begat that one, and so on. All of this genealogy. And it's almost like going through a very difficult maze. Because if you're like I am, you can't pronounce half of these names. And we are trying to work our way through this very difficult maze. And then we come to chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. And it's like we break into an opening where there's a resting place where we can stop and think about God and the things of God. What a wonderful spot it is in the midst of all of these names. Now, we don't know much about Jabez. We are given very little. We don't know the names of his parents, the place where he was born, or the place where he lived, nor the place where he died. What we do know is that he was a man of prayer. Now, we know that much because that's all we have here. Is his prayer. Some time ago I read this thought. It's not profound, but it seems that it's one that we have difficulty in really learning to understand. At least I confess that for myself. And the thought is this: no person is greater than his prayer life or her prayer life. No person is greater than his prayer life. And the prayer of Jabez provides the key to his life. From Jabez, we learn that disabilities, physical disabilities, whatever they might be, need not disqualify us in the believer's race in dealing with the things of God. We even learn something from his name. His name means sorrowful. I remember years ago hearing A.P. Gibbs say, "Can you imagine his mother calling him for supper? Sorrowful!" My, what a name, Jabez. Well, it seems to be that his mother had some great difficulty, whatever that was, in Jabez being born, because he was given that name. Sorrowful. So there was some sorrow connected with his birth, and it might have been some physical disability, some physical problem. But we know this from his prayer, that he was a man who wanted his life to be right with God. He wanted to walk in fellowship with God. He wanted to be a blessing to others. Remember, no one is greater than his or her prayer life. And I believe all of us would have to confess we have difficulty in prayer, don't we? What is prayer? Dwight L. Moody, once when addressing a crowded meeting of children in Edinburgh, Scotland, asked that question, "What is prayer?" He was expecting no answer. He was expecting to give the answer to that question himself. But he was surprised that little hands went shooting up all over the auditorium. And he called on one lad. He said, "What is prayer?" This was that young man's answer. "Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies." My goodness. Mr. Moody's delightful comment was, "Thank God, my boy, that you were born in Scotland." Well, what is prayer? Well, prayer, in that broad definition, is being in communion with God. Now, I'm sharing with you some categories here. This is not absolute. But worship is adoration to God. And the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Worship is adoration to God. Confession is acknowledgement of guilt. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Supplication is petition. And here in a broad sense, it's asking for oneself. Supplication. Intercession is advocacy for others. And thanksgiving is the attitude of gratitude. Now, we don't have to understand all of these terms and all of these categories to pray in this way, to worship, to confess our sins, to petition God, to supplicate God, and to make intercession for others. And to give thanks. We don't have to understand all of these categories for all of this to be in our prayer in one way or another as we commune with God. You know, as I do, prayer is not magical. It's not hocus pocus, dominocus. Prayer is not magical. And prayer is not mechanical. Some time ago, I had someone to give to me a little booklet on the prayer of Jabez. I think it was written by Wilkerson, is it? The prayer of Jabez. I read at it, for the most part, and my impression was as I did so, and I was thankful for the book, and I'm thankful that he knows the Lord and God has used him and is using him. But my impression was that now people will think this is some kind of a formula to go by in every case, as if it were a mechanical formula or prayer. Well, prayer is not magical. It's not mechanical. Prayer is not a means to an end. And prayer is not twisting God's arm to get something. You know, people say, you need to pray a little harder. And you need to pray a little louder, as if God is hard of hearing. Prayer is not twisting God's arm to get something. And prayer is directing the soul to God. There are two prerequisites to successful Christian living, and they are vision and passion, both of which are born in and maintained by prayer. Jabez was a man of prayer. We know that much about him. We talk about prayer. We read about prayer. We hear about prayer. We sing about prayer. But it seems that we have such difficulty in praying regularly, praying in secret before the Father. Failing in prayer, we fail everywhere. I told you about Mrs. Lane, did I, from Nashville, Tennessee, some years ago. When I left the engraving trade, and we were commended by two assemblies in 1968, and when I left the engraving trade and we started devoting full time to the Lord's work, my first week of meetings was in Nashville, Tennessee. And I spent quite a bit of time with Brother John Phelan. Some of you know Brother John from Nashville. And that Sunday, after the morning meeting, I was at the door, and this dear sister, Mrs. Lane, she's been in heaven for some time now. Mrs. Lane came up to me. She was a large woman. And she said, "Brother Schwartz, I know you and Brother Phelan will be doing some visiting this week. Would you please come by and visit me? I have a problem." I said, "Sister Lane," I said, "we'll come by and visit you." We wound up going. She lived in a high-rise apartment. We sat there on the sofa. Maybe I told you this. She had a problem. I said, "What is your problem, Mrs. Lane, you wanted to share with us?" She went back and got her prayer list. Two or three sheets of, notebook paper that children use in school. She had written two lines on every line of the paper. And I think it was two pages, but all four pages were filled up. People all over the world she was praying for. And she said, "Now, Brother Eddie," she said, "under Memphis, you're the first one listed here. Brother Johnny," she said, "you're the first one under Nashville." She said, "Well, now here's my problem. A couple of weeks ago," she said, "I got down on my knees here at the sofa, as I always did. I got on my knees and went over my prayer list." She said, "I was there so long, oh," she said, "I couldn't get up. I was there for a couple of hours. I screamed and screamed, and finally someone in the hallway passing heard my scream, went down to the office. The superintendent came up, opened the door, and helped me up off of the floor." She said, "I was all right. No harm done to me. I just couldn't get up off the floor." And she said, "Now, Brother Schwartz, this is my problem. Do you think it would be all right with the Lord if I just sat on the sofa and prayed rather than getting on my knees?" I looked at John Phelan. He had tears in his eyes as I did. Oh, my. I thought about us preachers getting pats on the back and compliments. "Oh, a wonderful message. Oh, one," and we fail to think about those who are praying in the closet in secret day after day. Thank God for prayer partners. But failing in prayer, we fail everywhere. When should we pray? You know how to answer these questions. Give us this day our daily bread. We're to pray every day. What should be our attitude in prayer? Well, we're to pray with God's glory in mind, God's will being accomplished in us. Where should we pray? In secret, the Lord said, Matthew 6:6. And how should we pray? We should pray sincerely. Now, who should pray? Well, the pattern prayer goes, "Our Father." There has to be relationship. And why should we pray? Because God is pleased when we realize that we are completely dependent upon Him. He's pleased with that. And what are the conditions for prevailing prayer? Note carefully, a good conscience. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Psalm 66:18. A pure motive. James says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." James 4:3. We're to pray with unwavering confidence. Our confidence is in the Lord. James says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." We are to pray being obedient to the Word. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. 1 John 3:22. And we are to pray in His name. That doesn't simply mean filling out the check however we want to write it, as long as we attach His name to it, in Jesus' name. I think to pray in His name means to pray on His authority. I believe included in that is the thought that we are to pray as He would pray. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in My name, said the Lord Jesus. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. John 16:24. And we are to pray according to His will. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. John 9:31. I like this little poem here by Lillian Weeks. Someone has prayed, if I could only know the blessing that has come into my life because my friends have gone into the secret place and there have prayed for me, I'm sure my soul would be bowed down in deep humility. That I had had so small a part in the success that may have come my way. We are so blind and often think things just happen by chance. But if for one brief day the veil were parted and we could see the power that guides and guards our steps, and how power makes the contact and releases in our lives the fulfillment of some cherished hope, our doubts would vanish, and no longer would we say that it just happened so, for back of every blessing is a reason, and so many times the reason is someone has prayed. How are we doing on our prayer life? I think of the boy at camp who was praying, and he stopped and looked at the council and he said, "How am I doing?" Well, we need to ask that, how am I doing in prayer life? You know, oftentimes it's difficult for us to pray. We know as believers we're supposed to pray. And somehow we get to thinking that, well, you know, if I don't pray every day, then I must not be the Christian that I should be, and that's true. But we begin feeling guilty and, well, we must pray, and so we'll say something, at least to satisfy our conscience that we are at least attempting to pray every day. Prayer becomes a burden to us. Well, Jabez was a man of prayer. And I want us to think about his prayer. Now look at the words again. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Now here is his prayer that involves grace and growth and guidance and guardianship. Jabez prayed. But I want you to make a few notes here concerning his prayer. Jabez was an appreciative man. Note the sincerity of his prayer. Someone has said we need more O's in our prayer, in our prayers. Jabez had an O in his prayer. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." I told you about Mr. Gary, the oldest brother in the meeting back at the time I was saved in Richmond, Virginia. Brother Gary. He was hard of hearing. And he was always fooling with his hearing aid. Sometimes another brother and I would go up to him and we would move our lips but not make any sound. I think maybe that was the old nature, don't you? We would move our lips, you know, as we shook his hand, and he would get to fooling with his hearing aid. The Lord forgave me of that, too. But I remember Brother Gary used to pray, And he had that vibrato in his voice, which sounded so spiritual when he prayed. Well, he was an old man. Of course he had a vibrato. You get old, you start shaking, and your voice starts quivering. But he would pray. And I can remember him praying using oaths. Oh, Father, we thank Thee. And oh, it was so spiritual. And when I memorized my first prayer, which I worked diligently on, I put an O or two in it. And I tried to sound like Mr. Gary. I really did. Well, Jabez was an appreciative man, and we note that from the sincerity of his prayer. Did I tell you about Jerry Detweiler from Durham, Welcome's son, Jerry Detweiler, and Paul Bernardi up at the Mountaintop Youth Camp? I wasn't there when it happened, but over the many years that I was involved with the camp, I heard about it a week or two later. They had trouble with a boy. Maybe he was from Raleigh and from this meeting. I don't know. But he was about 10 years old, something like that, and they were having a lot of problems. He just would not be obedient. He just not would buckle under. And so they took him over to the lodge, and they said to him, "Come on with us. Where are we going?" So, "Come on with us. We're going over to the lodge." So the two took him over to the lodge to have a prayer meeting. I later asked Jerry about it. He said, "Yeah, went over to the lodge." He said, "We got down on our knees. We told him, get on his knees." So he got on his knees. We got on our knees. And I think it was Jerry who prayed. "Now, Lord, You know we have talked to this boy, and we have tried to get him to obey the rules and regulations. But, Lord, he just will not do it. So it seems, Lord, that we're going to have to beat him. Lord, when we start beating him, give us wisdom in knowing when to stop." I said to Jerry, I said, "Did that work?" He said, "Well, for about 30 minutes. I'm not sure whether he came from this meeting or not. But his prayer was not sincere. That is, Jerry's prayer was not sincere. The prayer of Jabez was sincere. Jabez was not trying to impress God. He was not trying to be someone whom he was not. He was sincere and honest before God. Jabez was an appreciative man. But not only so, Jabez was an ambitious man. I want you to note the scope of his prayer. He prayed for grace. "Lord, bless me indeed." And he prayed for growth. "Enlarge my coast." I read in Vance Havner's book just before coming to the meeting, Salt and Pepper, or Pepper and Salt, is it? Just a number of quips and quotes. Vance Havner said that it seems that we can enlarge our waistlines a lot easier than we can deal before God about enlarging our coast, our spiritual coastline. Well, there's a lot of truth in that too, but he prayed for growth. "Enlarge my coast." He prayed for guidance, "that thine hand might be with me." And he prayed for guardianship, "that thou wouldest keep me from evil," or maybe it should be translated, "from the evil one." Jabez had some physical limitations, quite possibly, but he was a spiritual man. He was an appreciative man. He was an ambitious man. Now, you might ask, how can you be so sure that he was such a spiritual man? His prayer sounds a little selfish to me. Didn't he pray that it might not grieve me? But remember what we said concerning the conditions for prevailing prayer a good conscience, a pure motive, unwavering confidence, obedience, praying in His name or on His authority, praying according to His will. Jabez prayed this way because we read, and God granted him that which he requested. So Jabez was an ambitious man. Not only so, Jabez was an available man. I want you to note the stipulation of his prayer. He prayed for divine ennoblement. Bless me indeed. Paul prayed that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19. My, I spoke Wednesday night in Burlington on emptiness and fullness. Well, we have such difficulty with emptiness, and there's so much about this world that drains us. We need to cultivate this habit of communion with God. So Paul prayed that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Jabez was blessed, but he yearned for something which would surpass any previous experience. He wanted to go deeper in the things of God. And so he prayed for divine ennoblement. Someone has said, true spiritual blessing always ennobles character and qualifies to bring greater blessings to others. So Jabez prayed for divine ennoblement. But not only so, he prayed for divine enlargement. Enlarge my coast. Well, what did he mean by that? Was he praying, Lord, enlarge my family? Enlarge my influence? Was he talking about a greater measure of usefulness? Our ambition should be for a wider influence for God, a deeper love toward God, and a stronger faith in God, and a growing knowledge of God. We are not to sit, soak, and sour. We are to grow spiritually. And so here was an available man, and we note that in the stipulation of his prayer. Prayed for divine ennoblement, for divine enlargement. But not only so, he prayed for divine enablement, that thine hand might be with me. Now, we know that God's hand speaks of God's power. Over and over again, we read of different Bible characters. I'm thinking just now of Joseph. The hand of God was with him. But we read this in connection of others in the Word. God's hand speaks of power. And so here was a plea from a sincere man for God's power in his life. The Lord Jesus put it this way, without me, ye can do nothing. And Jabez realized this truth. He also realized the truth that we claim today, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. And whatever He calls us to do, whatever He entrusts us to do, He will enable us to do. And so Jabez prayed for divine enablement. But Jabez prayed for divine environment, that thou wouldest keep me. I was looking at Numbers chapter 19, verse 16 earlier in my personal meditation. Let me read it to you. And whosoever toucheth one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. I'm sure Jacob realized how easy it would be for him to be disqualified in the things of God. You remember there was Samson, strong Samson. And he got honey from somewhere. Do you remember where that honey was? Where was that honey? In the carcass of a lion, but he was not to touch a dead body. He did so with ease, as he did other things. Oh, but he still had his long hair, that is the outward manifestation of his strength, but soon that was gone too. Now, Jabez realized that it would be relatively easy to touch a bone of a human being somewhere, or in some way become disqualified for that period of time in the things of God. He didn't want that. He also realized that he had an enemy who is the enemy of God, and he's the enemy of God's people. Possibly like Peter, Jabez realized that Satan is a personality. He's the father of lies. He's the accuser of the brethren. Jabez knew that Satan was a personality. Not only so, he knew that he was a powerful spirit. And Jabez knew that Satan was a persevering adversary, going about as an angel of light, seeking whom he may deceive, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Jabez knew well that the inevitable peril of an enlarged coast would increase the activity of his enemy. He knew in so praying, increasingly, he would become a target of Satan. So as he was praying for this wider influence for God, this deeper love toward God, a stronger faith in God, a growing knowledge of God, a broader horizon in his activities for God, he knew that increasingly he would become the target of this persevering adversary. Lord, keep me from evil. He prayed for divine environment. So Jabez was an appreciative man. He was an ambitious man. He was an available man. Jabez was an admirable man. We note the simplicity of his prayer. 33 words in the English translation. 33 words, and yet how simple. How simple. Why, any child could read these words. You know, when we pray, we're not to put on airs, as I did when I memorized that first prayer. But listen carefully to what I'm saying. We are to be reverent. We don't speak of God as a big daddy or the man upstairs. He's our Heavenly Father. We are to be reverent when we pray to God. Now, you keep that in mind as I give you this illustration. I want you to think of the hot summertime and the ice cream truck coming down the street. I remember seeing a cartoon in the paper. You probably think I read cartoons all the time, but I remember seeing a cartoon in the paper. It was just a one picture cartoon. And here, the little boy had the television going, according to the cartoon, rather loudly, making all kinds of noise. And there's a little ding-a-ling going on out on the street. It's the ice cream man. And yet he heard that little, didn't hear his mother calling him, but he heard that little ding-a-ling. Well, think of the ice cream truck coming down the street and that little boy hearing that truck, that ding-a-ling. And so he runs to his mother. How do you think he approaches his mother to get from her what he needs to get a popsicle? Just picture this little boy falling on his knees before his mother and saying something like this. Oh, most maternal, gracious maternal affiliation, treasurer of the family budget, in your great legacy of quarters and on the basis of the existential fact of the approach of the popsicle man, I want to petition you for one shekel, so to speak, that I hitherto may transact the indispensable bargain tantamount to acquiring the sad popsicle involved in my hallowed supplication. Do you think the boy asked for a quarter or a dollar or whatever it is that way? Of course not. Mama! I want a popsicle! Well, we don't go to God that way. We go with reverence, deep reverence. He is our Heavenly Father. He is Almighty God. But we need to go in simplicity. Not to put on any airs, not to impress anybody. And listen, for any of you younger men, who are older for that matter, and maybe you have thought of taking part in prayer meeting or at the Lord's Supper, and yet you are apprehensive. Maybe some of these older brethren might intimidate you in some way at the way they are able to get up and pray and quote Scripture and just pray long prayers. I've been in at the Lord's Supper on several occasions where one or two men who have just recently gotten saved have gotten up and in a stumbling way have said, Lord, I'm not used to this, but I just want to thank you for dying for me on the cross, for being raised from the dead and saving me from my sins. I just want to thank you and praise you. And sat down. Listen, that'll bring tears to your eyes. But when we pray, let's just be ourselves before God. It has been said that it's not the arithmetic of our prayers, how many they are. It's not the rhetoric of our prayers, how eloquent they are. It's not the geometry of our prayers, how long they are. It's not the music of our prayers, how sweet they are. It's not even the logic of our prayers, how argumentative they are. It's not the theology of our prayers, how doctrinally sound they are. It's not the method of our prayers, how orderly they are. But it is the fervency of our prayers, how sincere they are. And Jabez prayed, and God granted him that which he requested, because he had that burning desire to glorify God in all that he was and all that he did. I am convinced of that. Do you know the little chorus we can... Now, Phyllis, it's not that you play beautifully, but sometimes I hesitate to have you come all the way up just for a short chorus. Do you know that little chorus, In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified? Today? Okay. Well, this is my chance to sing a solo, isn't it? Here's the way it goes. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Isn't that a nice little chorus? Let's sing it once again. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. You think maybe we should do it just one more time? Let's try it. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Father, I pray that what we have sung is indeed sincere from our hearts. Lord, we desire that Thou wilt receive glory from our day-by-day living. We are made to realize that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. May this be our portion, and may we be men and women of prayer. We are made to realize the greatest ministry of all is the ministry of prayer. So may we be sincere. May we be continually before Thee throughout our experience, day by day, in our secret places, praying that we will have a greater influence for Thee. We thank Thee for our time together today, and we pray Thy continued blessings upon us as we separate. In the Savior's name, amen. Good night. God bless you.